name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we know, yesterday we celebrated the feast of the Nativity and Theophany of Jesus, also known as Christmas. And for the Armenians, we celebrate Christmas for 8 days, and today is the second day. And it is the tradition in the Armenian Church that if after the five major feast days, the five tabernacle feasts, the following day is always called Merelots Padarak. Merelots Padarak, which is referring to the deceased. And in the old countries, some of you may remember, not that you're old, but you were there when it happened, this is the day when the priest would go to the graves, and you would visit the graves, and you would bless the graves. And this is to tell those in the graves of the good news. The good news today of Christ's birth and revelation. In many societies, unfortunately, and even in American society today, Christ's or Christmas has been boiled down to just a birthday. It's just a birthday, and that's where it ends. And we have put Christ's birthday, unfortunately, on the same level as many people, as George Washington, as Abraham Lincoln, as Martin Luther King, or sometimes even as friends and family members. And it just becomes another birthday. A birthday where he's not there, so rather we give gifts to each other and not to him. But the birth of Christ, Christmas, if we want to call it that, is much, much more than a birthday. And it's an event that changed history and changed humanity as well. In the hymns of the Armenian Church, they say that today, the gates of hell shiver in fear because they know that they will be destroyed. And this is what we go to the graves of the loved ones to tell, that those graves will be opened one day. Through his birth and revelation, we have also learned a new reality in this world. Growing up in the West, we are taught that the universe, for lack of a better term, is two stories. Heaven and God is up above, and humanity and all the demons are down here on the first floor. If we think about it, it's almost like a house. God and the saints, and when we have loved ones that die, they go upstairs. And there's one stairwell that comes down, one staircase that comes down. And every so often, we're downstairs, we yell up to God, asking him to come help us. And if we're lucky, once in a while, we see him, or we might understand or hear him come down, perform a miracle, and then go back upstairs quickly. This model has been removed through Christ's birth. This idea that there are two stories no longer should exist. In the ancient world, in the Old Testament, that's sort of how it worked. But now, through his birth and revelation, it's completely different. And this idea and this concept of ours, that it's two stories still, needs to be removed from our minds, needs to be removed from our lives. This idea that God is in some far-off, distant universe, and every so often he'll come downstairs and help us, is wrong. Rather, through his birth and revelation, the two stories have become one. And we now live in a one-story universe. That means heaven, the saints, the angels, our loved ones who have passed away, and even God himself are not far off, but they are right here amongst us now. Today, in essence, we don't celebrate Christ's birth necessarily, but we celebrate God's incarnation and how he removed the boundary between heaven and earth and made earth into heaven. On page 29 in the Padarak Matuits, we even say this in our prayers. Right before Surp Surp that we sing, near the bottom of page 29, the priest reads silently, "You were pleased to dwell among us in a ponderable nature, according to the dispensation through the Virgin, and as the divine master builder, building a new work, he thereby made this earth into heaven. Because where God is, there heaven is. And God walked amongst us. He was known as Emmanuel, for God is with us. And he brought heaven with him. If we understand and we believe that this universe is now a one-story universe, our view of religion, of faith, and of this world completely changes. It completely changes. God is not some distant being or deity, but he lives in us and amongst us. The angels are no longer sent when we ask them to, but they are already here fighting battles with us. The saints are not coming in between us and God, but instead they worship alongside us. And most importantly, I think, our loved ones are not gone, but they are here with us now. They are not dead and buried, but they are living and part of this universal church. Heaven is all around us. We just need to wake up and see it. So often we get confused and we get busy and distracted with so many other things in our lives, whether it be classes, bills, work, cars, shopping, even ourselves. We end up missing and not seeing God around us. God is in the wind and in the rain and in the sun rays. He is in the joys and in the sorrows we feel. He is in the people we meet and those that we interact with. He is in the child who needs help and the beggar asking for help. God is everywhere. But we, in this modern world that we live in, forget that. We've been so far removed from nature that we don't see him anymore. This is why, when you go to nature, sometimes, it's called recreation. And when you go to recreation, what ends up happening? You end up recreating, right? It's recreation when you go to recreation. Recreation, you are creating yourself new, and you are reliving and realizing that God is there. That he is amongst us, he is with us, he is not far off, but he is there helping us through this world and our lives. But in the same way that God and heaven and all these things are around us, that also means that the demons are all around us. And they are fighting a spiritual war with the saints, with the angels, and with us, for us. And so today, the gates of hell shiver because they know what is coming. But it's up to us whether or not we let those doors be destroyed at our resurrection, depending on what we do and how we live our lives. So it is my hope and my prayer in these next days, and tomorrow when we bless water, that water in the prayer specifically says, let this water be used to combat the evil forces in this world. I ask and I pray that we use this time, the remaining 6 or 7 days, to see where God is in us and in the person who is annoying us, in the person whom we don't want to talk to, in the person we try to avoid either at church or at work or in a store, and see God in that person. Maybe even, I dare say, in a loved one we have not spoken with, or a family member we try to avoid, and try and see God in them. Because God is there. It's up to us whether or not we see him. Amen.